Well, last week I finished up our sermon series on fake news. And before I go in a different direction starting next week, I thought it'd be great to have another one of our pastoral staff come and minister the Word of God. And so today, Pastor Mark Kibberts, our youth and young adult pastor, is going to be preaching the Word. And so I'm going to invite him up to the front, and I'm going to walk 6 feet away from him. So we're following social distancing. Brother, go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. I was talking with Pastor Ray, and I was joking around. I said, finally, I have an audience of dummies to listen to me. It's kind of humorous. It's kind of weird being in a church without people. And it's kind of weird doing all the online stuff that we have been doing. And we miss all of you. We miss our fellowship, and we miss our time with you. But it doesn't mean that we don't have time together. It's just not together. It's online. So it's an interesting thing. As I prepared this message, I was asking God, what is the things that we're seeing? And I'm following some of the youth on social media and following some of the other people, and we're ministering and doing calls, and we're still 100% go, go, go. So I just want to put this out to anyone online that's listening to this message. If you have a need, reach out to us. We are available 24/7 if you still need us. We have pastoral counseling on staff. The youth pastor, I'm always available. Pastor Ray's available. Guys, we are facing one of the most challenging times that the world has ever seen. And as part of that, it's a challenging thing for us. And so that's why I'm bringing a message today about intimacy with God. See, we have a time when our social media lives have consumed us. And it's partly consumed us because we've allowed it to consume us, and it's consumed us because we really have time on our hands to do social media. We have nothing else to do. What do? We're all kind of restricted to our homes. We're all trying to be safe, and COVID is a serious concern. We have to recognize that, but we also... it's frustrating sometimes being home when you want to go to a movie or you want to go to dinner or you want to go celebrate an anniversary. There's a lot of things that are going on, and we're all struggling with that. I would love to have youth and get the youth together. I miss them. I would love to get together in our church body, and because we miss all of you as well. And it's important for us because that's the way God made man, was to be in community and be in relationship. And so, as I look at social media posts and as I look at how people are responding, some of the things that I'm seeing is people are frustrated. They're not only frustrated with their lives, where they're at. I'm seeing some really interesting messages about anger. People are angry with the government. People are angry with other people. We're starting to see the heart of man bubble up and out of people. There's messages of loss. The youth are talking about, the seniors are all talking about, I'm never going to be able to graduate. I'm never going to be able to walk across the stage. I'm never going to be, we are keeping in mind of the things that we're losing. But the reality is we're gaining things as well. And we have to keep that in mind as we go through this process. We have to remember that we're safe, that we have health, that hopefully you have not contracted COVID-19 and you're not ill, that hopefully you have a room over your a roof over your head, and that you have food on the table. See, part of our issue is multimedia has a tendency to guide our thought processes. It was interesting. I always like to look up word definitions, and I looked up the word entertained. And two of the definitions for the word entertained are to keep hold or maintain in the mind. And the second was to receive and take into consideration. So as we are bombarded with all these multimedia messages from either the news or people, how many of us are absorbing them into our lives? How many of us are starting to feel negative? How many of us are starting to feel hurt? But the truth of the matter is, we can't. God is still on the throne. We can't be like Matthew 15, 18 through 20. It says, but those things that proceed out of the mouth from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Jesus is talking to the religious leaders and he's telling them, it's our heart. And what you're really starting to see in multimedia and you're really starting to see in people is the heart of the people is broken. We are living in a time and a culture where Christian faith has been set aside and we've replaced it with intellect and humanism and Unitarianism. We have said that God has no place in our schools, in many of the schools, I should say. But God has a place in our lives. God is real. We're starting to watch people that are starting to protest everything and see everything as negative. They're starting to go against the government. They're starting to not trust the government. They're starting not to trust people in general. I'm even starting to watch people talk about this being the end days and Jesus is coming back in the next month. And I don't think that's the case, folks. But I think this is a time of groaning. Scripture talks about a time of groaning before the end days, before Jesus returns. We never had thought that a virus could spread around the world in 4 months, but it has. It's an interesting thing. So, how do we present this? How do we look at this as a Christian? How do we take all of the insanity in this world that's going on, the negativity and the hurt and the pain and the loss? We're all feeling it. How do we take this? How do we reframe it in our minds? How do we look at it so that it's something that's positive? See, I actually think that this is all my fault, to be honest with you. I've been praying for the last 8 months for God to give me space on my calendar so I can take a break and pray. Be careful what you ask for. He will provide it. Obviously, I'm kidding, but that has really been one of my prayers. Is that I needed to slow down and I needed to take time and I needed to spend time in prayer and time in focusing in the things of God. I wanted to spend more time to focus on the youth and some of the issues that we have in our own communities. That's why I think right now, as Christians, we're missing the greatest opportunity we have. Actually, even in America. We are missing the opportunity to get on our knees and to spend time with God. And to develop an intimate relationship with him. Most people are spending their time on social media or watching TV or doing whatever else they're doing. We have a time right now to break, to pause, and to breathe. So what are we doing with this time? If you look at a lot of statistics, if you look at what people are posting, not much. We're wasting it. We're spewing out the negativity. We're spewing out our hurt. But we're not really pushing into him. And so I guess as Christians, we have to sooner or later make a choice. Are we going to take the world's entertainment, which is going to suck into our minds and consume us? Or are we going to seek intimacy with God? Over the last several weeks, I've challenged the youth. I asked them to pray for half an hour a day. I said, I want you to talk to God for 15 minutes, and I want you to shut up for 15 minutes, and I want you to listen. And I had two youth, one young man who came to the Lord 4 weeks ago, contacted me, and he said, I had an experience, and I can't explain it. I had a peace and a comfort that entered my room. I had a joy that I have never experienced. I had an experience with God, I believe. And I said, yeah, that's the Holy Spirit talking to you. And another youth also had a very similar experience. See, when we stop and we breathe and we focus on the things of God, he can enter our lives. And that's the important thing. We need to stop and open our minds so that God can enter. And how do we do that? How do we get to a place where we can stop? Well, first of all, you've got time. Many of us are working from home, or we're really not as busy as we used to be. Working full-time for a consulting firm, doing what I do, and then ministering and being married and trying to spend time, I don't really have much time in a day to do much. But I have all the time in the world now. I spend most of the days with my wife, unless she goes to work. She's an essential employee. I am working online, so I'm home. We're with our new dog, our new puppy. We're hanging out with Nugget. He's awesome. And life is good. So our focus changed. Our focus also changed to Christ. We're going to read out of Philippians 4 through 7 first, and then 8 through 9 second. And Philippians 4 through 7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The first thing that we need to do as believers in Christ is we need to rejoice where we are. You're alive. You're safe. You have abilities. Most people are still getting some form of an income. Things are being put on hold. The world stinks because it's different, but we're all good. We're alive. And we have to focus on that. We have to recognize that in every situation that we're facing, that we need to rejoice. I know that there are people that have lost loved ones in this time, and our heart grieves with you. But if they're a believer in Jesus Christ, we rejoice there as well, because they're with them and they're with God and Jesus in heaven. There's a matter of rejoicing. It doesn't take away from your grief, but we can rejoice. We need to start taking our thoughts, and we need to start thinking about the things that we do have rather than the things we don't have. I've got ribs waiting for me when I get home for lunch. That's a pretty good thing. What do we have, folks? You have a lot. I watched some parents post some things about their kids, and they said, "Oh, the only way I can get through my days with my kids is with vodka." Well, maybe we need to reframe things in your life. And maybe you need to realize how much of a blessing your kids are. And maybe your kids need to realize how much of a blessing your parents are. Mind thoughts. How we think and how we perceive things will dictate our response or our responses and what we do. The interesting aspect of this is when we look at the world population as a whole, the world, most people don't even have roofs over their heads. Or they're living in a shack with a dirt floor. Or they have no income. One of our missionaries, the average income on Pine Ridge Reservation is $2,500. That's the average income for an individual. Most of us are going to get more than that in 2 months if we're on unemployment. How we frame things in our mind will dictate how we respond. I remember my time in the military. I had a drill sergeant, and when I was in survival school, that said that your attitude when you enter the situation will dictate the outcome. And so if you have a stinking attitude right now, that's going to dictate your outcome and how you handle the situation and how you handle things. The second thing I see in the scripture is kindness. We are seeing tremendous amounts of kindness. And that is an amazing thing. We're watching people make masks. We're watching people deliver food. We're watching people do great acts of kindness. Those are the ones we hear about. But there are other acts that are not kind. And we have to keep that in mind. But as Christians, we need to be kind. We need to be focused on that. And as we self-isolate, it's an interesting thing. As a biologist, I look at predation and I look at predators. One of the things the enemy always tries to do, a predator always tries to do, is to isolate its prey. And so now when we're in a time of isolation, we need to guard ourselves from the things that happen when we're in isolation. And what some of the things that happen is we begin to believe our thoughts are the only thoughts. We believe that maybe it is going to be really that bad. And so as we listen to that social media, and that's coming in, and you're hearing all the tragedies, you're hearing all the horror, you're hearing all the bad, you're hearing all the negative, we can begin to be part of that and consume that and let that become part of our lives. We need to reject that. God's word multiple times says, let's not be anxious. Tells us not to be anxious about the things of this world. Not to be afraid of the things of this world. See, I've turned off the news. I've turned off media other than to follow people that just to see how they're doing. I have chosen to take on positive media options. Those positive media options, you know, allow me to maintain a positive attitude. Garbage in, garbage out, folks. And that goes for your mind as well. What you let into your mind that's garbage will stay there. And it will fester and it will rot. So when you're facing these anxious thoughts, we're facing these fearful thoughts that are coming in, what do we do? How do you handle them? I think it's a time for prayer. Don't think that I haven't had anxiety. Don't think that I haven't faced some realities. I have. But I've said, Lord, I will trust you no matter what happens in this. And I will take my anxiety and I will give it to you. And I will stand steadfast and strong in your word and what you have said will happen. When we allow ourselves to stay strong in God's word and the things of God, it allows us to overcome. It allows us to be positive. It allows us to deal with our kids without vodka. It allows us to deal with life without drugs. It allows us to deal with life without bad or poor choices. We can do life. Not that we're not all going to blow it. We all make mistakes. We all get anxious or we get angry. But we can recover from those. So as we continue down, as a youth, I loved sci-fi. And so one of the things, the books I really loved was Frank Herbert's Dune. And one of the things that Frank Herbert has in that book, which I thought was really interesting and applies to today, and actually it's applied to me most of my life. There's a character in there, I'm drawing a blank. And he's faced with a situation, he's being tested. And as he's being tested, he says to himself, this is something that he's been taught, fear is the mind killer, and I shall not fear. When we allow fear and anxiety to rule our lives, it takes away all common sense, and it takes away the ability to think clearly. That's why prayer is essential. That is why we need prayer. And so when we're bringing that, we're rejoicing and we're bringing those prayers to him, and we're bringing them in petition, and we're asking God to do a multitude of things, remember that sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, and sometimes God says wait. Sometimes we don't always get an answer right away. But we live in a microwave society, right? If I pray this, then I get this. This is the way that it works. It doesn't work that way, folks. Sometimes the answer is no. And we always have to remember that. One of the other things that we have to remember is that intimacy with God takes a focus. If you want to know him like you want to know anybody, whether it be a friend, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever it may be, you have to have an intimacy with that person. You have to get to know them. And how we know them is, one, we talk to them. Again, 15 minutes of talking, 15 minutes, shut up and listen. Let God talk to you. God has some amazing things that are going on right now. But you have to have that desire for intimacy with him. How much, I ask the youth all the time, and I'm going to ask you all now around the country, how much of the Bible have you read every day? How much time have you spent in prayer? That is going to dictate how much intimacy you have. It can be very superficial, or it can be very in-depth. And how do we take the focus? What do we focus on? If we're not focusing on multimedia, we're not focusing on the things of this world, what do we focus on? Scripture is very clear in Philippians. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned and received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Almost everyone I know has had some form of an experience with God, at least in this church. We have a tendency to do that. That experience that you have with God is a reminder when things start going south, when things start going, become difficult for you, remember the promises God has made you. Remember the things that God has done in your life. He's a just God. He's a loving God. He's a kind God. He's a God filled with grace. He's filled with mercy. Will we let God have that room in our life to develop this intimacy? The other aspect of this is we need to have some repentance in our life. We need to let things go, and we need to ask God to forgive us from those things that we have done wrong and those that we have wronged. Setting people free. A thought life focused on Christ will change your life. I promise you. Most people today, their thought life is focused on the things of the world. Straight up, that's what it is. But you have the opportunity to have a thought life that's focused on the things of God through a deep, meaningful relationship with Him. Not filled with fear and anxiety and hurt, but rather with redemption and love and kindness. Filled with rejoicing in everything that we have ever experienced. Rejoicing that God cares about you, that God created you. The enemy's a dirty dog, folks. He wants you to think that you have nothing to offer. And that's a lie. So as I close, I'm just going to recap briefly. In your lives over the next few weeks as you pray, because I'm calling this congregation to 30 minutes of prayer. Sorry, Pastor Ray. 30 minutes of prayer, 15 minutes of listening, and 15 minutes of speaking. Let's have an equal relationship with Him. Well, not that we're equal, but let's have some equal time. And if you don't have anything to say to Him, just listen, because He's talking. So as we do this time of prayer, first thing is I want you to tell Him how thankful you are for the things that you do have. Let's start focusing on the positives that we have in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that I have food in my cupboards. And by the way, if you don't have food, let this church know. We will help you out. Thank you, Lord, that I have a roof over my head. Thank you, Lord, that I have family. Thank you, Lord, that I can pray to you. Thank you, Lord, that you love me. Thank you, Lord. And I can just go on all day for the things that I rejoice that God has given me. And God loves me. And in that, when we're rejoicing, the kindness of God will flow out of us. We can actually pour into other people when we know that we are loved and we are living in a life of rejoicing. Giving thanks in prayer and petition. Turn off social media. Turn off the media. There's nothing wrong with being informed. Get informed and then turn it off. You don't need to hear 35 times the same thing. Okay? The mother of learning is repetition. So when you continually hear the same thing over and over and over again, it becomes entrenched in your mind. So turn off the media. And actually, it was kind of funny. The media even said the other day, if you're anxious or fearful, don't listen to the media. That's kind of funny to me, but I don't know. Your mental state is important. If you have a mental health issue and you're listening to this stuff and the anxiety and the fear and all that, again, we have pastors on staff here that will help you. You can call in. We will walk with you through this process, folks. You are not alone. We may be social distanced, but you are not alone in this fight, and you are not alone in this battle. Hear me clearly. I don't care where I go, and I don't care what I have to do, but I don't want to see people's lives destroyed from fear and from hurt or suicide. Because, folks, the truth is suicide is on an increase. They're not talking about it. That's not hit the press yet. And that's a side effect of being isolated. We don't want to see you isolated. We want to see you in the family. We may be distanced, but we're in the family. And I want you to, the final thing is to meditate on the things of God. It is time to start focusing on the things that God has in your life and God has given you and the things that God has for us to do. And start looking forward. We talk about revival so often in this church. This is one of the greatest opportunities for us to begin to pray for revival to come. You have the time. Use it. And use it wisely. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your time with them. They are precious to you, and you are precious to them, even though you fight like cats and dogs. You're still loved. And finally, and probably the most important in all of this, is enjoy your time with God. I have so enjoyed some walks with the dog and talking with God and just reflecting and hearing what God has. And sometimes he just shakes his head and he laughs at me. I know he is. And other times, he's giving me words of wisdom for somebody. Other times, he's just praying for the pastoral staff or praying for individual people. And as we reach out to them, it's like, hey, the Lord's got me, he's placed you on my heart. And they're like, thank you, I'm going through this situation. Folks, the reality of our life is we are in this now for another month. That's the way it's going to be. We don't have to do it alone. You have to do it with God. And you have to do it with this church family. I thank you all very much for your time. And Pastor Ray is going to come back up. May God bless all of you. And stay safe.
I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. Just a reminder, if you have a prayer request, you want to text it in at 518-231-5098. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer in just a few moments. A couple of announcements before we do that. Want to remind you that Wednesday night, we have Facebook Live at 7 o'clock. My wife joined me last Wednesday, and it was such an enjoyable experience. We're going to come back together again this Wednesday. If you have any questions that you would like us to answer when we're on the live post, just send them to us. You can either email them to us. Our email is on our webpage. You can hit the Contact Us button, and it'll go right to our email. And or you could text us, or you could text us a question as well. We want to be able to interact with you Wednesday night. We're going to try to set it up so that as you type messages to us on the Facebook, that we can actually interact with you and say hi to you. It's our chance to get a little bit more casual than we do here on a formal Sunday morning. And so we want to remind you of that at 7 o'clock. I also want to let you know a new venture that started here in Schoharie County. It's called Schoharie Together. There's a note in the My Shopper today in the senior page. You'll also see an article in the paper on Wednesday in the Times Journal. It'll also be in the Mountain Eagle Schoharie News. We have developed a partnership between the food pantries, the churches, the Office for the Aging, and town governments. And we're all working together to make sure that the most vulnerable among us, those who are 60 and up, and those who might have health issues with no support. We want to protect you from having to go into the stores and run the risk of contracting the virus. So we're going to be delivering groceries and or meds if you need them from the pharmacies to your home. We had our first run this past Friday. We were able to bless four families. And eventually what's going to happen is food pantries and churches are going to link up with people all over the county. And each church and food pantry will minister to the people in their community. The Office for the Aging has helped providing us for names. And the town governments are also coming alongside and helping with some of the financing. It's truly a partnership. Pastor Mark mentioned about kindness. What an opportunity for us to work together in partnership. And that's why it's called Schoharie Together. So just check your papers. You'll get some more information on that as well. So the prayer request, we had one come in. We want to pray for Mary. She's been struggling with many strokes. And so let's look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, you're the one that designed our bodies. You created us in our mother's wombs. You had a divine plan and purpose for each human being. Not one person has borne my mistake. Oh, it may not be planned as far as humans are concerned, but it's not a mistake as far as you are concerned. And that each person you create has worth and value, having been created in your image. And so, Lord, we stand in the gap, and we pray for Mary. We pray, Lord, that either supernaturally you just go in there and begin to open up the blood vessels so they won't be the strokes and the clots anymore in the brain, or you provide some kind of natural cure through the wisdom given to physicians. But whatever it might take, Lord, so that Mary might be able to live her life free of these many strokes. And certainly, Lord, there are many in our congregation that have experienced needs during this time, and we lift them up before you. We thank you for your mercy extended to Greg Mundus, our national missions director. He's been raised up. Thank you for your hand of mercy raised up that has raised up our superintendent, the Assemblies of God of New York State, and his wife and their grandson. Thank you for their recovery. And we pray, God, that the church would rise in faith to serve. I do believe that this can be, by grace and through your Spirit, the church's finest hour, that this is not a time to cower in fear. This is not a time to withdraw, but to engage. And we pray that we might do so with wisdom. We continue to intercede for those on the front line, for the first responders, for doctors and nurses that are serving. And beyond that, we pray for governmental leaders that have to make decisions for their states and for their counties, for their towns and communities, and for the nation as we get back up and running. We pray, Lord, as we do get back up, that we won't forget some of what we learned through this time and that there will be the changes that need to take place in our homes and in our country. We thank you, Father, that no matter what happens, there is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against you, that you are the sovereign God, and that even something like this can be turned around and used, Lord, to accomplish your purposes. And we pray that as a church, we'd move with those purposes, not against them. We pray, God, now that you would dismiss us with your grace and that everyone who's had the opportunity to hear this broadcast today and through this week would receive that touch from the Lord that allows them to draw closer to Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in the grace of our God. Amen.